I don't know about you, but I recall, I mentioned on last week, I got my, Marion told me I had my smallpox shot. She showed me where that little mark was on my arm. You know, I've never had the smallpox. I've never had the smallpox. You know why? Because I got inoculated from it. All glory to God. I'm telling you that through the ministry of the word of God this month, not yesterday, but this month, you're going to be inoculated so that throughout the rest of this year, there are things that other people, ordinary people, will experience that you'll not have to experience in Jesus' name. Amen, somebody. Glory to God. So if you will, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter number 11, and we're going to begin reading with verse number 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in who? Have faith in God. You know, a lot of people get all twisted, you know, when you start looking at television more than you look at the word. You get more twisted when you start looking at the news on Facebook and online and all those things, because all of a sudden you just see so much chaos. And if you're not careful, when things are going good, you can begin to lean to the arm of the flesh more than you lean toward God. Did you hear what I said? You can receive everybody else's word above God's word. But Jesus said, have faith in God. Hallelujah. Now, it's written in red. It's one thing for me to say it, but it's another thing for Jesus to say it. Now, if we are to have faith in God, evidently, God is somebody that can change things. Did you hear what I said? He's someone who can change things. Now, somebody said, so why should I have faith in God? You should have faith because of what he's already declared, what he's already spoken concerning you, concerning your life, concerning the plans and the purposes that he has for you. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. One translation said, God wants to give you an expected end. Amen. He wants to give you what? An expected end. He wants to give you the desired end results. That's his desire for you and I. 3 John verse 2 said, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So Jesus said, have faith in God. Amen. Hallelujah. Have faith in God. And only we can answer whether we really have faith in God. You know, it's one thing to come to church. It's one thing to hear the word of God preach. But it's another thing to believe God, especially during those quiet moments when nobody else is there, nothing else is running. Do you really have faith in God? I believe the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20, after an angel of the Lord visited with him and the ship that they were on was about to be shipwrecked, Paul stood and declared before the captain of the ship and all the other passengers on the ship. He said, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me this night. For he said, there stood by me an angel of the Lord this night and said, all is going to be well. Oh, glory to God. Sometimes we just need to hear that word. All is going to be well. Amen. I'm here to tell you that the Lord is speaking to you today regarding 2016 and say, all is going to be well in Jesus' name. Can you say that? All is going to be well in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. So have faith in God. Now that need to be primary. That need to be number one. That we believe God above everything else. You know, last Sunday we talked about faith for salvation. You need to know why you're saved. You need to be able to give an account for why you have this hope. Why do you live the way you live? Why do you have the expectancy that you have? Well, because of what God said in his word. And so let's continue in verse 23 of Mark chapter number 11. The scripture said, Jesus said, "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe." Can somebody say believe? "Believe that you receive them and you will have them." Now, Jesus did not say whatever things you believe you're going to have. Whatever you say that you believe is what you're going to have. A lot of people say they believe things, but they never say anything. Isn't it interesting? Look back in verse 23. We find out Jesus used the word "say" three times. Say or saith, depending on what kind of translation you have. The word S-A-Y or S-A-I-T-H if you're using Old King James. But he used the word "believe" once. So in other words, there need to be three times more saying than you do believing. Because if you really believe it, you'll say it. But if you're not quite sure, you won't say it. If you really believe what the scripture said, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, you know, "By his stripes I am healed." Now, my body may be reporting everything else. I may have a long list of stuff. I went to the post office the other day. I was mailing some stuff the self-operated machine. Yeah, the kiosk. Yeah, so I had quite a few things. And, of course, you know, they said you want to add, and I had several packages, so I just kept doing it. And then it printed out a receipt. That thing just kept coming out. Hear this. It's just coming out, the long receipt for each transaction. Now, hear this. You may get a report from the doctor, just like that receipt I got, of all the stuff they've identified as being wrong. And while we look at that receipt and we say, "Doctor, thank you for your report." Then we go back to see what God said in his word. The scripture said in Isaiah, "Whose report will we believe?" Somebody say, "I believe the report of the Lord." His report says, "I am healed. Therefore, I'm healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. In Jesus' name, I am what God says I am right now, regardless of what it looks like in the natural." Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So there need to be three times more saying, more so than believing. In other words, the emphasis need to be more on the saying part. The saying part. Somebody said, "Well, does saying make it so?" No, it's already so. When you say it, that's just like saying amen to it. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. And so, notice Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you," speaking to his disciples, "whoever says to this mountain." So it's not just left up to preachers. It's not left up to the missionaries. Huh? The deacon board. It said, "Whosoever shall say to the mountain." I'm telling you, every one of us got some kind of mountain we're dealing with. And you got to talk to your own mountain. If you don't slap it around, it'll slap you around. Amen. If you don't talk to the mountain, you're going to be talking about the mountain. Oh, my God, is that good or what? I said, if you don't talk to the mountain, you'll be talking about the mountain. And it's amazing. I listen to people sometimes that they're dealing with different things, maybe financial or whatever the issue may be. And they just keep repeating that thing over and over and over every time they talk to somebody. Somebody call them on the phone. Or they talk about it again. I mean, over and over and over and over. See, hear this. You're either going to talk to the mountain or you're going to talk about the mountain. And the results are totally different. Jesus said, whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. In other words, you got to be fully persuaded yourself that what God said is true to you. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. I'm telling you, now there are some things, you know, in the natural, I just tell you, I'm in the flesh just like everybody else in the flesh. Sometimes in the natural, I don't see everything I'm expecting right then and there. But you don't hear me sitting around talking about it. I'll talk to it. It may seem like it's whipping my butt. But you know what? I know what I do. I go back and I pull up the scriptures. That's why I keep confession cards. Somebody says, why you always keep these confession cards and stuff? You Catholic or what? No, I ain't Catholic. I just believe the word. Amen. And so it helps me to pull this up. Yes, right. Stay focused and stay on track. In other words, I don't have to go find it all again. Somebody said, well, I got to go through 40 scriptures. No, I already got it written down. And I just continue to speak it. Now, hear this. The best time to do that is when everything is going good. You know, when you're feeling good, for the most part, most people don't feel like saying nothing. You know, I hurt. I feel bad. Or when you're going through something and they say, well, I'm telling you, look like this the end of the rope. This your last month. We're going to have to let you go. You know what? I've never been fired off of a job, regardless of the economic conditions of the world. And I've been in some economic conditions of the world. You remember, how many of y'all remember back in the 70s, 80s, when interest rates was up to 17%? I mean, to buy a house, if you're going to buy a house, it was 17% interest. My Lord, now, I mean, you got interest rate now, 3-something percent. Hey, Lord, and they talking about 17%. Listen here, in the natural, you ain't going to buy but so much of a house at 17% interest unless you got a whole lot of money. Why? Because you're going to be a mega payment. You can buy a whole lot more house with less interest rate if you finance it. Now, if you're paying cash, that's a totally different story. You know, if you got a, you know, I remember back in the 80s, you know, new homes were going for $69,000, $75,000, something like that. If you just pay $75,000 cash, that, man, I tell you, that's great. But $75,000 at 17% interest, that's a nice size payment. You know, today you could afford a house with that same interest rate, the equivalent in the payment. You can afford a house today, probably about a $300,000 or $400,000 house at 3% interest with the same payment. Oh my God! Hear this. We want to stay focused. Somebody said, "Why do you do all this?" Listen here. If you're going to win in life, you must prepare to win. You must expect to win. You must plan to win. Hear this, winning is not an accident. You do it on purpose. See, when I win, I'm not surprised. You know, some people, they have faith accidents, but they can't repeat it. They go, oh my God, look at this. Woo! Let's see, now what did we do? Let's see, what was playing on the radio? I tell you, we need to go buy that CD. Because you think it's that song that was playing or whatever, and somebody was saying, you know, some crazy thing, then you try to do that. No, that's not it. God's word can be trusted. Amen. Hear this. So Jesus said, whosoever shall say. Whosoever means me. You know what I come to find out according to Mark 11:23? Mark 11:23. That whosoever that's there is the same whosoever that's in John 3:16. Amen. John 3:15 and 16. It's the same whosoever. See, some people think, well, you got to be some special person. Well, guess what? You are special. You're a child of God. Amen. You are special. Your name don't, last name don't have to be Trump or Hines. You know, somebody said, well, Hines, yeah, they like the Hines ketchup that everybody just love, ketchup on their fries and all that. Yeah, and the Hines people thank you for that. Every time you buy a bottle of ketchup, you boy, you ensure that they're going to stay where they are. Somebody said, I tell you, you got to get a good big bottle. They love it. You know what they say without telling you? Thank you for your support. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you for your support. You know, I could get off track on that one, but I'm going to stop it right there. Whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed, what's going to happen to the mountain? It's going to be cast into the sea. If you don't doubt in your heart. Now, nobody said it's going to happen in 2 minutes. See, sometimes we expect everything to happen in 2 minutes. And if it don't happen in 2 minutes, then I ain't got no use for it. Well, I don't know why you treat the word of God like that, because you don't do the same thing on your job. If I tell you what, you got to have a week in the hole. You just start a new job. You got to have a week in the hole, and you get paid every 2 weeks. Well, you didn't get your paycheck the end of the first week, and you keep working. You don't know that they're good for their word or not. But when it comes to God's word, if he ain't done nothing in a couple of days, then something wrong. Sometimes we take a man's word quicker than we take God's word. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie. Oh, my God, I felt like a Baptist preacher when I said that this morning. Amen. He's not a man that he should lie. He tells the truth every time. Matter of fact, when you see God, you see the truth. God has never lied. In him is no darkness at all. When you see God, he's pure light. Ain't no 99.910. No, he's 100% light. The scripture said in him is no darkness at all. Never had it, never will. Sound like a commercial, right? Never had it, never will. And you know what God wants for you and I? He wants us to be children of the light. We've been delivered out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. I'm telling you, there's something about knowing who you are and whose you are and what you can expect. Now, I'm telling you these things because we have to live out our faith. We have to live it out. And I have to let you know that in living out your faith, everything may not be going the way you want it to go right now. But you don't abandon your faith. You don't abandon what God said. If anything, you draw closer. James chapter 4, Jesus' brother said, draw nigh unto God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. In whatever manifestation, whatever form that it is, he'll flee from you as you draw closer to God. Don't run from God if you mess up. Run to him. God said, I will in no wise cast you out. Oh, my God. Oh, hallelujah. You know, some people, when they mess up, you know, first thing they do, want to go the other way, want to go hide, do the Adam thing. Adam went and hid himself in the garden. Now, how are you going to hide from God who sees everything? You know, one of the things that really stood out to me, I heard a guy talking about Gulf War. This guy, he was laughing. He said, you know, one of the funniest things between the Gulf War and Afghanistan, I think it was over in Afghanistan, he said, they do not understand the technology that we have. And so they would take the truck and go hide it under the tree and think we didn't see the truck. But the technology we have, we could see the truck under the tree because heat is emitted from the truck. And with the vision goggles that they had or the equipment that they had, they could see anything that was moving. Matter of fact, they could see the silhouette of a man in the midst of the dark. And so they would go hide under a truck or something, or hide under a car, jump in a ditch, think nobody see them. Well, it's just like God. Sometimes we think we hiding from God. We can't see. Or God can't see. God sees everything. Nothing is hidden from his sight. Amen? Now, somebody said, well, I got it going on. Well, do you? You know, don't be fooling yourself now. Amen. Now, again, let's get back to what Jesus said. If whosoever says to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, as great as that is, hear this. Read verse 25 and 26. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, everybody say, if I do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Think about it. We have such a great weapon at our disposal. Jesus said, you can say, whosoever, red, yellow, black, or white, whosoever shall say to the mountain, I'm telling you, you have the capacity to make mountains disappear. But there's one thing that can keep the mountain from disappearing regardless of what you say. And that is holding aught in your heart against someone else. Somebody said, but you don't know what they did to me. They violated me. It don't make no difference. I'm not going to lie. What anybody did to me keep me from moving mountains that show up in my life. You know, we used to sing in the church, climbing up the rough side of the mountain. God never called us to be mountain climbers. He called us to be mountain movers. Look at somebody and say, I'm a mountain mover. And why are you going to climb up the rough side of the mountain anyway? I mean, if I got a choice about it, if I'm going to climb the mountain, it's going to be the smooth side. People just like to think they did everything by themselves. You know, they all that in the bag of chips, you know. Now, hear this. The greatest hindrance to the supernatural, to you moving mountains, the greatest hindrance is grudges or offenses. I'm getting your inoculation shot now. Holding things against people that, and what they did was wrong. I say that again. What they did was wrong. But it's wrong for you to hold it against them. Psalms 119, verse 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Or nothing causes them to be offended. I remember the first time I read that scripture, I'm going like, you got to be kidding. We ain't in heaven, we on the earth. E-A-R-F, we on the earth. And there are some folks that they create some situations that cause you to stumble. In other words, God said, you got to learn how to let stuff go. Because you and I are created to live on a higher plane and not let little piddly stuff stop us from being all that we are called to be. So I read that scripture, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing they shall be offended. Really? Psalms 119, verse 165. I remember that one. Nothing causes them to stumble. I got like, man, if you're not stumbling, then you ought to be perfect. You ought to have this thing down. And yet I see some people, man, they've had some of the trying situations in life, and they some of the sweetest people. They learn to let stuff go. But yet I see some other people, they have one or two little things happen, and they just won't let it go. They won't let that go. They harp about that thing, talk about that thing, I'll tell you. And you ask them when did it happen, when they give you the date, find out it happened 20 years ago. They act like it happened yesterday. And sometimes the person may be dead. Hear this. That person that's dead is ruling you from the grave until you let it go. Somebody says, yeah, but nobody else knows about it. Well, get rid of it. Get rid of it. We've all been violated in one way or another. I'm telling you. I could be one bitter person because of some stuff people done to me, people said about me, and all that kind of. I could be bitter all the time. I could be like the Australians. I heard one preacher, one minister, he's from Australia. He said, Australians, we are balanced people. We have a chip on both shoulders. You could go through life barking at everything. I mean, just like old dog that's been wounded. You get close to him and the dog snaps at you. I'm like, what's wrong with the dog? I thought it was a nice dog. Dog, arf, arf. Jerking your hand back and everything. I'm like, what's going on? Well, come to find out the dog got something in his paw. Just needs some help. He can't talk like you and I. You just have to investigate. People that snap all the time, you just need to investigate. What is it that's gnawing at you, that's been eating at you? Who hurt you? That's why when people hurt you, you have to remember this. Hurting people hurt other people. Did you hear what I said? Hurting people hurt other people. So if hurting people are hurting you, don't hold it against them because they are hurting. Didn't Jesus say, pray for those who despitefully use you? I said one of the greatest hindrances to walking in the supernatural is offenses and grudges. Look at somebody say, in 2016, I'm shutting Satan down. I'm not giving him any place to operate in my life. I'm letting it go in Jesus' name. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. There was a minister by the name of Smith Wigglesworth. He wrote in this book, many Christians would be giants in faith. But 20 years ago, some offense entered in and kept them from moving into the realm that they should be in. Some offense. 20 years ago, something happened. Maybe it was a school classmate. You know, I'm getting ready to have our, August, we're going to have our 40th high school reunion. Let's think about it. I've been out of high school for 40 years. Good Lord, don't seem like I've been out of high school that long. I ain't looking barely over 40 years old, you know. But and there could have been somebody that was in school that said something to you. You know that. You know, I remember when our schools first integrated. They used to talk about black people. Black people had big lips. Now everybody want big lips. People paying big money to get big lips. Not only paying big money for big lips, they're paying big money for big butts. And they used to laugh. They used to make fun of you. Matter of fact, I heard about this one person down in Miami that got that was arrested because, you know, the person that came to them, they didn't want to go to the doctors and have things done right. So they went to this other person to help them with their problem, what they thought they had. They were kind of flat in the behind. And so they got sick and wound up going to the hospital, and they found out what happened. They had put injections of the stuff you put in tires called Fix-A-Flat, and their butt was sticking all back out, and they got sick, the stuff got in their system. Yeah, Fix-A-Flat. Yeah, Fix-A-Flat. I mean, literally, you can go to AutoZone or somebody and get some cans of Fix-A-Flat and just shot it in their butt. They're going to blow you up now. But here, some people could have had issues because somebody talked about how flat they were on the behind. And they just have issues. I'm telling you, people have issues. You got to see yourself from God's perspective. You got to see through his word. Because otherwise, the devil is always going to be picking at you about something. Some people wish they were taller. Some people wish they were shorter. Some people wish they were wider. Some people wish they were smaller. All kind of stuff. And all the stuff running through your mind all the time. And people, there's always somebody come along and say amen to it. Child, have you thought about doing such and such? And there you go. They don't know that you got an issue, but the devil know. And there you go again. You messing with it again. Yeah, oh, my God. The devil just loves to keep you spinning. He's like a cat chasing your tail. A string on his tail, you know, just running around. That's where they go. Year after year after year. Been out of high school 40 years and still chasing your tail like that. And never really made any significant contributions to life. Because you've always had issues. Get over your issues. Hear this. If the devil can't get you with sickness, he'll get you to hold grudges. Somebody say, I'll fix you. I'll hold a grudge against you. Guess what? It ain't hurt nobody but you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm telling you, we're getting our inoculation shot. We're going to be ready that there's some things that the devil trip up other people with. He won't be able to trip up with when we walk according to the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, Paul says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Wow. Behaving like mere men. Guess what? You're not average and ordinary. A child of God is extraordinary. He's not just natural, supernatural. Now hear this, the supernatural part can be shut down through stupidity. Look at James chapter 3. We have to decide that we're not going to give any place to the devil. See, that's what it means, giving place to him, when we allow stuff like that to rule us. And some people go from one year to the other, dragging baggage. You know, Pastor Marion, she's a very visual minister. And whenever she ministers, she likes to have all kind of visual illustration. I mean, one year she had suitcases or something like that. People dragging stuff from one place to the other. Y'all pray for me. Pray my strength in the Lord. I got all that back. Got so much junk in the trunk. And carrying that stuff through. God wants you to be footloose and fancy free. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. God don't want you to have anything that would cause you to shut your praise down. I remember Jerry Savelle preaching one time. He said, don't let the devil take your joy and put it in his back pocket. Mother, I can't praise the Lord. Long face. What's going on? Somebody even wrote a song about it. Nobody knows the trouble I see. And most of the trouble you see is inside. It could be a bright sunny day. You need to join the fifth dimension. Hey, sunshine. Hey. Glory Copeland said the sun will shine on anybody that'll get out in it. And some people, on the brightest of days, they're the gloomiest. That's because you hadn't made a decision to come out of it. So I said this morning, you got to shake yourself. Anything that hinders, anything that binds, shake it off. Sometimes you just got to shout it out. Amen. Oh, glory. You remember that detergent called Shout? Yeah, sometimes you just got to shout it out. Glory to God. There ain't nothing like going to a good old service. I know some people say, well, I don't think all that's necessary. But sometimes it's necessary just to have a good old shouting service. Amen. Somehow you call them get loose, get free service. Amen. Sometimes you just got to have one. Amen. I thank God I was raised with it, you know. And sometimes we had no music growing up as little kids in our home. We had a lot of service in our home. We had it at the church. But at home, my mama, she made sure every week we had service within the home. We ain't had no Casio keyboards or no kind of organized instrument other than a tambourine and wood floors. I tell you, you ain't shouted till you shouted on some wood floors and get about 20 other people shouting on the wood floor. Oh, boy, I'm telling you, it's something else. It's melodious. And every devil in the forest leaves because we lived in the woods. There wasn't no demons hanging around in our trees. Amen. We shouted them out. Glory to God. Amen. And like my sister shouted this morning, I know it probably scared some of y'all. Whoa, what in the world was that? Sometimes we get too quiet. Amen. I remember there was a lady that used to come to church here, Eleanor. And Eleanor, man, every now and then, she was married to Mr. Frederick, who used to be the music teacher at this school. And it'd be in there, everybody be quiet. All of a sudden, Eleanor break through the quietness. Thank you, Jesus. And people be jumping, jerking. It just knocked them right out of the spirit, you know. You don't know what other people going through. Huh? I'm telling you, and sometimes that's necessary. Matter of fact, you ought to try it every now and then. Somebody said, well, I don't think all that. Well, you need to try it every now and then. Amen. Don't knock it. Try it. Glory to God. And now, next thing I know, you'll be doing it regularly. Well, that felt pretty good. You know, but anyway. James chapter 3, did I say? Beginning with verse 13. Jesus' brother James says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envying and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. We want to yield to the wisdom that's from above. I don't know about you, but I don't like verse 16 manifesting in my life. Where envying and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing are there. I'm out to shut the devil down. I'm out. Hear this. In my house, I want the devil to be unemployed. Walking up in there like he owned everything. Got you fussing with one another. You know, when you're sitting there fussing with one another, ain't nobody operating the supernatural. Somebody said, oh, but I believe the word. You believe the word, but you ain't acting on it. You're distracted. Amen. See, there's a time to speak and there's a time to be quiet. You need to pray God give you some grace and understand what time to shut up and what time to speak up. Amen. The Bible tells us love one another. It ain't say slam one another. Did I say that? All right. Hear this. Offendableness has been and always will be of the devil. Holding offenses. Holding offenses. Matthew, yeah, I remember this and I remember that. You need to remember the right things. And there are some things you need to let go of. Amen, somebody. Now, I don't know anything that anybody dealing with here today, so don't think I'm preaching at you. I'm preaching what I felt the Lord told me to preach. Amen. I love something Fred Price said one time. If you throw a shoe, an old shoe, in a pack of dogs, the only one that's going to holler is the one that got hit. When you hear, ow, that's what you know, they got hit. Yeah. Somebody said, oh me or oh my. Amen. Amen, oh me. Let's go back to Mark. Oh, on your way back to Mark, let's stop it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 through 26. 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel or strive, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God peradventure will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses. Can somebody say come to their senses? And escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Oh, my God. Taken captive to do his will. Now, the only way you can be taken captive is you got to open the door for it. Look at somebody say, shut the door. Amen. Back in Mark chapter 4 again, chapter 11, Jesus said, verse 25, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Forgive him. Let it go. In other words, Jesus is saying, shut down the devil. Shut down everything he stands for by releasing it and letting it go. Why? It's important. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. I don't want my Heavenly Father holding anything against me. So that means I need to let things go. To whom much is given, much is required. You know, there is a man Jesus told about in one of the parables who had, who was forgiven much. He owed a lot of money. But his master forgave him of this great debt. Like he owed millions of dollars. And the man forgave him of it. So I tell you what, I want you and your family to go on with your life. Don't let this bother you. I understand you can't pay this. The man said, I'll pay you. Have patience with me. I'll pay you all. Well, you know, there's some people that it's going to be a miracle for them to be able to pay you because they don't have it. And there's no way in the natural for them to get it. Okay? That's what I said. When you loan somebody something, be ready to give it to them. I've had more money that I've given not to come back. You know, than I have had money come back. And so, maybe you loan somebody something. There may have been a hot spot right there. Maybe you loan somebody something. They ain't give it back to you yet. You got to learn how to disassociate with that and begin to speak to that person again. Somebody said, I ain't talking to you. Now, you know what? Your pastor may not see that, but the God sees you. And also the devil sees you. And you need to shut the door on that. You need to be nice to all people. I don't know. I think the Holy Ghost kind of got on something on that one. Yeah, somebody owe you something. You know, and in the natural, you just got to let it go. Like I said, you either talking to your mountain or you're talking about your mountain. You got to release it. If they give it back, great. If not, we still going to keep moving. Amen. Somebody said, yeah, but what I gave, loaned them was a lot. Doesn't matter what the amount was. You still got to let it go. Now, this one man that was forgiven millions, he's let go. All of a sudden, he's on the street, you know, just come back from Olive Garden and whatever. And he just saw this one person that owed him something. And all of a sudden, you know, he feels like he's completely free. So he tells the man, he said, listen here, you've been owing me for such and such a long time. I need my money and I need it now. Grabbed the man in the collar and said, call the law on him. Throw him in jail. And the man only owed him like $10. He was forgiven of millions. And the man that forgave him heard, got wind of it. People went and told him, said, that person that you forgave all that for, all that money, he found somebody that owed him $10. He had him thrown in jail. The man called him in and said, thou unprofitable and wicked servant, I'm going to throw you in jail. My. Listen here. I don't want to go to jail for nobody. Pastor Clyde don't have no problem letting stuff go. I don't like the jail. I see it on TV, and I hear some people talk about it. They've been to jail. That's enough for me to stay out of jail. Do not become imprisoned because of other people's poison. Shut down the devil. You ever heard the sound of a prison door closing? Yeah. If you ever heard the prison door, it closed. There's a sound that you just can't get out of your mind. When you allow things like that to go on in your mind, you just imprison yourself. But guess what? You have the key to get out. Oh, my God. You just have to let it go. And when you let it go, the prison door unlocks. And you can walk in that freedom. Amen. Perhaps your kids acted up. And I looked at some stuff one time. I was going like, you know, I told my kids one day, I said, you know what? We do not finance sin. We don't finance it. So if you want me to give you money to go do stuff that I think violates God, the kingdom, listen here. I ain't buying no dope for you, okay? I'm not doing it. Well, you know, I don't care what they say. Well, you don't love me. Well, now, you know better than that. You can say what you want to say, but you know better. Because people try to put you on a guilt trip over stuff. Don't let them put you on no guilt trip. Have your standards and live by your standards. Live by the word of God. Amen. And go on. And let them work out their own soul salvation. Yeah. But anyway, I remember one time I told one of them, I said, you know what? Daddy don't find that sin. I don't do it. I love you. People say, well, they still my kids. Yeah, they are. But somewhere along the line, they're going to have to learn how to turn to the Lord. Because some people don't turn to the Lord because they think you the Lord. Everything they ask for, you give it to them. And you got to stop acting like the Lord. And sometimes they got to go through some school of hard knocks and find out some stuff for themselves. And when they come through that for themselves and they cry out to God, that's where their freedom comes. But as long as you're sitting there with your checkbook, I'm telling you, you can hinder them in their development. God's trying to work with them, but you're trying to bail them out of this and bail them out of that. But they keep going back into the same thing. So sometimes you just got to step out of the way and just commit them to the Lord in prayer. Bind the devil, but commit them to the Lord in prayer. To God, this is my seed. You said in your word that the seed of the righteous is blessed. You said in your word, thus and so and so and so and so and so. And talk to the Lord about it. And you know what? Sometimes after you talk to the Lord about it, sometimes it seems like things get worse. That's a test for you to see if you really believe your prayer or you can still keep stepping up with your checkbook. Sometimes the best thing you can do for them is let them go through, just like you went through. Amen. Let them go through, and they'll be all right. It ain't going to kill them. Let them scream. Ah! Ah! Let them scream. And mamas, you got to be real particular. Because mamas, they got, well, I just can't go through that no more. I just can't. Just to hear them making that noise. Listen, stay out the Lord's way. The Lord didn't create the situation, but he's trying to bring them through. Hear this. God can pull you through if you can stand the pull. Amen. They'll come through. And they'll thank you for it later. Maybe right then they may be cussing you, but they'll thank you for it later. It's like old drug addict. You know, you got to help them get through. Can't keep enabling them. I know sometimes we do too much to enable people. You got to let some stuff go and stop trying to be God. Ooh, Lord, that's part of your inoculation shot. Stop trying to be God. Amen. And it's not just for family. It's sometimes other people, too. There's someone sharing with me about some people, you know, they don't handle the money right. And they think your money is part of their money. You got to let them know, no, I remember one time I told somebody, I said, well, then they said they need some money. I said, well, I didn't factor that into my budget. I didn't factor that into my budget. And evidently, you didn't factor into yours either. Matter of fact, you don't know what budget is. Don't care nothing about no budget. Their philosophy is everything I have is mine, and everything you have is mine. No, it's not. And you got to show them. Amen. Get the envy and strife out. And let stuff go. Look at somebody say, shut down the devil in 2016. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen, somebody. Now, if they're hungry, I'm going to feed them. I'll feed them. I'll give them something to eat. But I ain't financing sin. I ain't enabling them. I ain't going to pick their stuff up for them. Crack cocaine and all this other stuff. Parents, amazing stuff parents get themselves involved in. Enabling. They know that may be a bit extreme, but people do stuff like that. And you got to stay out of God's way. You're praying that God will deliver them, but then you're enabling them. Let God deliver. And get past the crying. Ask the Lord to help you. Lord, help me to get past their crying. And you know what he will? It'll help you to grab a deaf ear toward the cry. And then begin to praise God and thank God that everything's going to be all right. In Jesus' name. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. I don't know, did you get anything out of the word today?